a book, and a dish. On 702.
Well, my guest today has had a remarkable career as a designer of fabulous fashion. He started off studying to be an auditor and then went on to study fashion for 4.5 years. And boy, did it pay off with very, very successful collections displayed not only in South Africa, but all over the world, New York, Paris, Milan and beyond. SA Fashion Week is coming up soon, and we thought it would be a good time to have a conversation with David Tlale. David, welcome, and thanks for being on 702 Drive.
Hey, John, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks. I hope you're well, too.
I want
to ask you this. When was the first time that you got dressed in an outfit where you felt that you looked fabulous? And can you remember it? And most importantly, can you describe it?
I remember very well. I think I was in high school, early days of high school.
I think
it was a grade 8. And that's when I started to make choices for my own clothing.
Right.
And of course, that's when I stopped my mom from buying me clothes. So I chose my own outfit. And then I remember it was a pinstripe brown pant. Mm-hmm. It was like almost like a short sleeve cardigan with a collar. And, with like almost like cross-hatch, a knitted shoe. So it was the shoe and the top matched together. And the pinstripe on the pants picked up on the color. And I will never forget that outfit because I put it together. And that's when I feel like, actually, there's something happening here, you know?
Yes, yes.
Well,
And where did you go looking so fine?
Oh, well, I was going to church, you know.
Okay.
I was raised in church.
Right.
So obviously, Sunday's best was the thing of every Sunday. So my first debut of this outfit was at Sunday school. So I arrived looking very dapper on that day.
What did your mom think? Because you've now taken her out of the loop. You said, I've got this. did she smile? Did she frown?
I think in her heart, she smiled. She's like, I'm sure you look good. But I mean,
yes.
You know, mothers were like, I used to buy your clothes. Now today you decided to choose your own clothing. So
here we go. So,
but there was a silent smile coming through.
Okay,
know?
Well, that's good. Second question.
Yeah.
When did you first design something for somebody else? And obviously not just design, but it became an outfit. And what did that look like? And how did that make you feel? Because obviously the first thing was to get your own fashion sorted out. But presumably there was the beginning of when you took an interest in making other people look fabulous.
I think this was purely in my first year in 1994.
Okay.
When I was in fashion class. And I mean, like, before then, I had no background of sewing or sitting in a machine or even anything, illustration. I was like fresh from auditing classes and into fashion. So after I've learned how to make a pattern and for a skirt and a top and everything, I was like, I think it's time to make something. Because after a huge drama and struggle of convincing my mom that I want to go study fashion, I had to find something that will soothe her soul or her heart because I went without her blessing. So I made her a beautiful traditional outfit, which she actually wore at a church because it was Easter conference. And
right.
She was the belle of the ball. And people was like, who made this dress? She was, it's my son. I'm like, the last time I checked, you didn't want me to do this. But anyway, let's move on because you look good today. So yeah, that was my very, very first outfit from concept and to someone actually wearing it.
I'm surprised that people even had to ask your mom. I'm surprised she didn't bring up the topic immediately. But it sounds like your mom goes about things in a very polite way. Growing up in Fort Lewis, primary school there,
yes.
Tutor Lesedi secondary school.
Yes.
What sort of got you inspired and glad to be at school, if anything at all? I mean, what did you particularly enjoy there?
I think, growing up in Fort Lewis was a lot of cultural diversity because, I mean, you know, in the townships, we live with different cultures, different, I would say, traditions and languages. And it was beautiful growing up there. And I think going to high school was much more exciting because in primary, we only learned Sesotho. And now high school, we had to mix with all these other vernacular languages and all. And it was really exciting. And then new friends, which was really great. And then being introduced to a thing called SRC, it was nice because I was one of those people who was like doing a lot, and where I was a class leader and nominated for SRC, whatever. And it was quite nice. And it was also like a culture change and everything else. And also I was involved in a student Christian movement and quite active, fusing school and church and family at the same time. Was really, really amazing. And look forward to going to school. But the one thing that I can tell, John, is that our uniform at Tutu Lesedi was banging. Was beautiful.
Because tell us.
Navy blue and with navy blue pants, a white shirt, and a navy blue tie with a badge. And also the blazer was absolutely beautiful. And the girls, dungarees, was like a mustardy, a canary yellow kind of thing with like navy blue trims and everything, and you know, like those cardigans that you actually put on, it made the whole look beautiful. And I know this, that in Fort Lauderdale, our uniform was the best, more than all the other high schools. So it was really, really amazing.
I think you may well be the first person in the history of South Africa to speak with such passion about your school uniform. But David, let's...
Not because...
I'm impressed. It sounds great. Tell me this. The book you've chosen, The Magic of Thinking Big, a self-help book, but from a long way back. It was first published in 1959. David J. Schwartz, the author. Mm-hmm. It has sold, I think, about 8 million copies worldwide.
So clearly
there's something there. Was that a particularly good book of its kind, or was that maybe one of the first that you read, and why is it so precious to you now?
I think, John, is just a journey of revisiting this book over and over again. Because I know this. When I started reading this book over like 10 years ago, and as the journey unfolds as a designer and an entrepreneur, and also as a South African, we start from zero to be where we are. And it just keeps motivating and inspiring you to just like keep going. And I mean, I don't know how many times I've read this book, but every time I read it, there's something that's reignited in my journey, in my brand, and saying, you know, sometimes you feel like as an entrepreneur, you just want to give up, you just want to like throw in the towel and just move on, maybe find a job and be a lecturer again or go work for somebody. But when you read this, it just reignites you to say like, a salary is just a form of just bondage.
Right.
And like you have to just like always just wait for someone to pay you. And I just love what I do, because the good part with what I do, John, is that, you know, I don't have to ask for leave. If I have to travel overseas or anything, I just like, next week I'm out. I'll be back next week. And then you do New York Fashion Week, you do Paris Fashion Week, you come back home. You know, those are the beauty of it. But this book affirms that, you know, even in the toughest of times, in the most, you know, tragic of moments, keep dreaming big, because your dreams are actually valid.
Yeah. And tell me, I'm going to get to music in a moment, but food, briefly if we can, Moroccan food. I'm assuming that was not something that was at the Tlale dinner table when you were growing up.
But
why Moroccan food in particular, and are you any good at making it?
I'm of colored descent, and like we used to cook a lot of Malay food and everything else. And as I grew up and then start traveling and experience Moroccan food and also how they actually eat their food. I mean, not like using like all the knives and forks and everything else. They actually use their hands. And my most amazing is how they cook their lamb and fuse it with the rice. And then you eat it by hand. That's the most amazing thing for me. And I found every time I travel, I would find my favorite restaurant that serves Moroccan food. And in New York, I have found my go-to restaurant. In South Africa, you kind of like struggle a bit. You kind of like have to wing it. So I kind of like make it at home from time to time. Because I love the flavor, I love the food, I like texture. So yeah, this Moroccan food comes a long way.
Let's get into your song then, Sipokazi. This is from way back, 2007.
Way back.
Ubuntu Bam why this? Because you will have listened to a lot of music in your life, but this is special.
What makes this song special to me is just reminds you of, after all is said and done, with all the fame, with all the troubles and whatever that comes your way, you are still human.
Yes.
And you have to come back and give gratitude to the Almighty. And also, it just reminds you and reignites that, you know, I'm real, and my fame or my job cannot run into my head, because most people get to do that. They just like focus on the fame and forget that this fame, tomorrow it will be gone. And the one thing that is reignited in me every morning is that you are human. Beyond everything else, you are human. Before being the famous David Lally, you are human. You eat, you go to the restroom, you breathe, you have to drink water, and you have to give thanks to God for giving you one more day. So this song just reignites a lot of that in me. And just like, yeah, I think, and I hope the listeners enjoy it and just reminisce of the good times with Sipogazi.
I'm sure they will. David Lally, many, many thanks for sharing with us on 702 Drive your song, your book, and your dish. Here's Sipogazi.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me.